Praise God. So, we've been working our way through Acts chapter 2, which hopefully you will remember. We're doing a series. What's our series called? Lisa remembered. Lisa knows. Growing Church. Awesome. So, make that stick in your mind. It's a Growing Church. So, today is a Growing Church part 4. And we're going to continue work through Acts chapter 2. I just looked from other stuff just from across Acts and the early church. The early church means the original church that was birthed by the apostles after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus, as is recorded in Acts and Paul's letters to the various churches, as well as the other letters that are written by others like James and Peter, etc. So we're going to look at some stuff, just the kind of the culture of the early church. So we've been working our way through Acts chapter 2. This has been our key verse. Should be on screen for you. They devoted themselves, this is talking about the early church and how the early church worked and what their culture looked like. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So first week we talk about just what it means to be devoted, and then we've talked about the apostles' teaching and the word of God and what devotion to the word looks like and what that means, how the word of God changes our lives, which is God's agenda for our lives, amen, to make us more Christ-like. Last week Elisa spoke on fellowship, and we particularly pushed connect groups. Well, of course, that means every aspect of fellowship, not just connect groups, but obviously that's a big aspect of it. But yeah, being devoted to fellowship, that we need each other. Amen? Yeah. Amen? The church needs you, but you also need other people. Amen? And everyone else needs you as well. Yeah, both that works both ways. So it's so, so important, isn't it, to be connected with each other. No man is intended, or woman, intended to be an island, not intended to do life by ourselves. Amen? We tend to do life with others. With God leading us, of course. Amen? Everyone agree? Yeah. Awesome. So, and there's a number of people got interested in connect groups as well who weren't currently going, so that's great. So, yeah, we continue to believe for the growth in that. That's so good. Yeah, so those are the kind of early, the aspects we've looked at of the early church. So what I want to talk about this morning is more about the kind of general culture of the church, of the early church. Now, the early church, it wasn't ever static. Now, the early church, what's happening in Acts, it was very much alive. It was moving. It was always moving forward. It was, and to a large extent, they were just trusting God and making up as they went along, because there was no book on the theory of how you run church or how you lead a church. They were just trusting God and being led by the Holy Spirit, right? But the early church wasn't static. It was always moving. It was always changing. It was always adapting to what God was calling them to do. It was very much a sent church where people were sent. And of course, Paul in particular went on a whole load of missionary journeys right around Europe, to Italy and Greece or at least modern day Italy, Greece and Turkey and et cetera, as well as obviously Israel itself. And then, of course, that ended up birthing a whole movement right across Europe as Christianity started to spread across the world. And praise God for that. Amen. But, but people came and went. It was very much a sent. It was a sent church. As people were led by the Holy Spirit and going where God wanted them to go, where people would come and go. They came and went as led by the Holy Spirit, where leaders were raised and released into all that God had for them. Amen. And sometimes they went through periods of transition as well, where things changed. As I said, they were kind of very much making up as they went along under the guiding of the leading of the Holy Spirit in that sense. But sometimes there'd be transition, and things would be different. And there were times when the church was very persecuted. And if you know your church history, or just know your history generally, like things like under Emperor Nero. The Roman Emperor, where Christianity was incredibly heavily persecuted and people were, thrown to the lions, and that was like a form of entertainment. It's like a whole thing about the whole gladiator era, when all sorts of awful things used to happen for entertainment. Christians were used as human candles, and all sorts of horrendous stuff. People burnt alive. All sorts of horrendous stuff came, and all depended on kind of who the emperor was. And then some emperors kind of liked Christianity, had their own kind of view of things. So the church is always kind of in transition, different eras. You know, but transition grew the church. The persecution was horrendous. But what was amazing about what God did is he continued to grow the church. And nothing can stop what God wants to do in his church. Everyone agree? And Jesus himself said, I will build my church. And even the gates of Hades themselves, gates of hell, cannot stop what God desires for the church. You know, people have predicted the demise of the church for the last 2,000 years. And that's been the reality. That's what people have predicted. Like, oh, well, the church, that will never survive. And what's our relevance to it in here we are, 2025? But as I've said before, and I'll say again, you know, there are more Christians on the planet now than have ever been in the history of the planet. That's the reality. It's estimated as 100 to 150 million just in China. You know, there are millions and millions, in fact, billions of Christians, of people who say that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. That's amazing. Amen? What people have predicted is not in any sense been true, because you cannot stop the church. You cannot stop what God wants to do. Amen? Praise God for that. So we've kind of got some different points. I'm going to be watching a video in a minute, which will all kind of tie together. So point number one is the early church was always moving forward. It was never ever going backwards. It was never looking backwards either. It was always moving forward into its next and what God had for it next. You know, Paul himself, didn't he say, I've got this one on the screen, but he said, I press on towards the goal for which God called me in Christ. Jesus is always looking forward into what God had next and what God desired to do next. The Holy Spirit would be constantly directing new assignments for those who were involved in the church. Acts 13, verses 2 to 3, it says this. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, as I said, they're very much led by the Holy Spirit, as he should be. The Holy Spirit says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So there was always movement. There was always change. You know, for us as Family Church Waterside, we're going through a period of change, a period of transition. We're going to be moving to a building in time in the next few months. We had a big working party yesterday. Have you had a few involved in a working party? Yeah, if you can put your arm. My back hurts too much to raise my arm. That's true. That's so true. But anyway, we had a great time. Had a great time down there. Got loads done. If you're on social media, you've seen the photos on Facebook and Instagram. You've seen the photos yesterday. What was going on, and we've got a lot of clearance done, but there's still loads to do. But it's a really exciting time for us as a church, for us as Family Church Waterside. We're going through a period of transition, right? As a church congregation, we're moving forward into our next, the next that God has for us. And the thing that's interesting about transition is even when it's a really good transition, a really positive transition, sometimes it can lead to us feeling a bit unsettled. Because we don't always like, if we're really honest with ourselves, we don't always like change, do we? You know, if some of us sat in our seat next week, what would we think, right? Some of us don't like change. Well, that's my seat. I've been in churches long enough to know how these things work. Well, that's my seat. You can't sit there. Did you know? It's got my name on that one. Right, we don't always like change, do we? Let's be real about this stuff. Because sometimes if change is very, very positive, which you'd hope in a church context always is, but when change is very, very positive, we still don't always like it. Because we're like creatures, we can be creatures of comfort, and we think, well, oh, but what's that going to look like? Oh, that's the way it's always been, and I like the way it is. I'm comfortable. No, but God is in the transition. Amen. God is in the transition. When there's any change for the good, God is in that transition, and in that. And you know, as a church, as a congregation here, Family Church Warsaw, we continue to move on. Myself and Wendy were so full of vision, you know, for the new year. And beyond, hopefully we'll be in by the new year. And so full of vision for the new year, yeah, and beyond, all that God's going to do. And all that God's going to birth in our congregation, all the community things we'll be able to do that we haven't been able to do historically, because it's just so hard to do that without your own building. It's just practical realities. And just all the people are going to be saved and healed and set free and baptized and discipled. Just really excited about that. All that God is going to do. Amen? So God is in a transition. So even if that makes you feel a bit uncomfortable, well, I just want to challenge that this morning, that God is in a transition. You know, and the reality is, if we never, ever felt uncomfortable, we would never do anything new for God. This is just a reality, isn't it? We would never, ever do anything new for God if all we were ever worried about is our own comfort. And God constantly stretches us and grows us and makes us, or encourages us. God doesn't really make us do anything in that sense, but strongly encourages us to do things that maybe we've never done before. You know, to step out of the boat, to use that kind of analogy of what Peter did when he stepped out of the boat, to do new things for God, to be grown, to be stretched, amen, to grow into all that God wants us to be. So if you ever feel uncomfortable in any sense, in any kind of transition, in what God's doing, just allow God to help you with that, amen, because God is in the transition, and we just have to trust him, and that's a journey of faith, and I've talked about this before with the building itself. Sometimes it's not always clear the way ahead. This is just the reality of the Christian journey. Sometimes the only way we can know what God is actually doing is by pushing doors, and we just see what God opens. Right? Everyone agree? Right? That's just a reality. It's not always 100% clear. We just push doors, we see what God's doing, and we see what God's opening, and we're like, God, you're clearly opening that one, you're clearly closing that one. You know, we see what God's doing. Amen? So we're so excited for the rest of the year and the year ahead of all that God's going to do. So if it causes any kind of unsettling, or you kind of think, well, how's that going to work, and what about this, and how's that going to work, and what are the team's going to look like, and what's setup going to look like, and all those kind of things that can be things in our head, and it is going to be a very different dynamic. It is. You know, I've talked about this at length with Buzz and Steve at Haven, who they bought a building about 10 years ago, and we're meeting the school prior to that for years, and that whole kind of like transition that happens with the congregation, because things do look different, and the whole dynamic of what you do, and the team, even the team dynamic on Sundays, is very different, because some setup you don't have to do, but there's some new setup things that you will have to do, and whole dynamic changes, and a whole load of growth in all sorts of different areas, which they've seen in Family Church Haven, which has been awesome. Yeah, but we're so full of vision. So if you in any way feel uncomfortable, this is not like preaching to anyone in particular, thinking, oh, you're uncomfortable, Steve. I don't know, I was just looking at you at the time. Or anyone else feels uncomfortable, you're uncomfortable, Helen or Elisa or whoever, okay? Right? This is not aimed at anyone in any sense. If I had anything to speak to about personally, I'd speak to you personally, right? Anyway, but it's not aimed at anyone, but I just want to just deal with that kind of thing that could be a culture in churches where we just do not like change, right? Even when they're positive changes, because it challenges our comfort. But God has not called us to be comfortable, he's called us to move on. Amen. And the early church could so easily have been comfortable, couldn't they? Imagine if the Apostle Paul, you know, when he was called in an incredible journey, obviously went, the spiritual journey, obviously went, where he went from, you know, killing Christians, which he literally was, you know, killing Christians, and even worse, doing that in God's name, thinking that's what God wanted him to do. He was going around from killing Christians to being this great apostle that he was. But he could have stayed comfortable. You know, when the Holy Spirit was calling him to go to all these other different countries, you know, to face persecution. Obviously, Paul was in prison for many years for his faith, and wrote some of his letters from prison. But he could have thought, no, you know what? I quite like it in Israel. I quite like Jerusalem. I'm just going to stay here. You know, a whole kind of church history could be completely different, couldn't it? Let's just be real about this stuff. I know God could have just raised up somebody else instead. Of course, that's true as well. But our church history could have been different. This is why it matters. Even when things are uncomfortable, we're led by the Holy Spirit into what he has for us. Amen? Because God is in the transition. Praise God. God is good. So that's kind of like point number one. I've kind of got two other points I want to talk about. But first, I'm going to get onto those points. I just want to show you a video. As you know, we're one church, or hopefully you know this. If you're new to church, maybe you don't know how it works. We're one church with many different congregations. Listed, there's actually a couple not on there, in various places across Hampshire. There's also one in South Sea, which is not on there, and one in the Philippines, in Manila. But we very much operate as one church. And myself and Wendy, we lead Family Church Waterside here and have done since the very beginning, which is March 2011, which is when we started here. Almost 15 years now, crazy. So there we go. It's been good. And then we're under the senior pastorship of Andy and Gina Helms, who oversee the whole church and planted Family Church originally back in Portsmouth in 1997. And the other congregations spread out from that. So that's kind of how we work. But we're very much one church. We're not in a church network. It's really important to be clear on this. We're not in a network of churches. We are one church. That makes sense. Under senior pastors Andy and Gina, and myself and Wendy get to have the pleasure of leading you guys here in the Waterside, and we're also Family Church elders as well. So we are involved in lots of whole church. And he said hell church, and that sounds terrible. Involved in lots of, that's a whole different thing. as elders of Family Church, we're also involved in a lot of whole church things as well, and conversations and things that we're involved in as well. Which is great as well. We love being part of that. But that's kind of the structure of how a church works. But it's really important to understand we're one church, and that's how it works. We're seen as different. We're different locations or different congregations, but within one church, within one family. We're called Family Church. We don't want that just to be that's a cute name. No, we want that to be a reality. You know, just some nice brand or something. We just want it to be a reality of who we are. We're a church. We see ourselves as a church family, as a church body. Amen. Anyway, so we're now going to watch a video from Pastor Andy, and I'm going to talk about some stuff off the back of that. Thank you. So there we go. God is in a transition. Yes. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, you know, when big changes happen like this, and probably the biggest change a church can actually ever face is its the founding pastors moving on from a church. It's probably the biggest thing a church ever has to, because it's like, well, how's that dynamic going to change? And all those kind of questions it throws up. And it's really important that no one is confused. There's no misunderstandings. There's no kind of, well, what's that really all about? You know, oh, they said that, but what are they not saying? You know, all these things that happen, again, been around church a long time. I know how people think, right? Well, they're saying that, but what are they not really saying? Right? Okay. So it's really important that everyone is on board, everyone's on the same page, everyone understands the same thing. So what we've done, and you'll get this when you leave after service, we're doing this in all our congregations. As I said, that video was played in all the congregations. Well, Pastor Andy spoke it live in Portsmouth right now. But the video is played in all the other congregations. So we've got basically an FAQs. You see it on the internet a lot these days, don't you? FAQs of kind of frequently asked questions. Because it's basically to answer questions that you may possibly have. So there's a whole load of, like I said, you'll get these in the end, at the end, one per family. A hosting team will give you one of these flyers to talk about, again, all the dates, some of which Pastor Andy's mentioned. You know, why now? Why this change? What's the future going to look like? All those kind of things can be, you know, that you may have questions in your mind, or just not sure about, or just want a bit of clarity on. That's okay. That's absolutely fine. So we want, you know, people to get answers to questions that they may have. So you all get one of these booklets at the end, you know, when you leave, and it's got loads of stuff in there. If you've still got more questions, you can talk to myself and Wendy, or assistant pastors Ian, Annie, or Dan and Tasha about it as well. We'd be very happy to answer stuff as well. So something will make sense? Yep. Great. So it's absolutely fine to have questions or just stuff you want clarity on. It's absolutely fine. And we want people to ask questions if they've got questions. So we're all clear and there's no confusion or misunderstandings or any of those things. It's really, really important. So God is in the transition, right? God is in the transition, and that's what was happening in the early church, where there was constant change and constant changes in leaders, or where leaders went. God's in the transition. Okay, point number two. Time's going quick. Here we go. Just do a couple of quick points. So first one, God's in the transition. Number two, in the early church, new leaders were constantly emerging. They had a great culture of that, of constantly growing new leaders. And God always has a plan. Aren't you glad on that? Glad about that. God always has a plan. He always knows what he's doing. He always has the right people for the right jobs. In Acts 6, verse 1 to 7, it says this: in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews, they weren't obsessed with hell, okay, that means Jews who are from a Greek background is what that means. So the Hellenistic Jews, among them, complained against the Hebraic Jews, so the Jews from a Jewish background, okay, from the Israeli background, okay, so that's what it's talking about. So basically the Greek Jews, among them, complained against the Israeli Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So basically the Israeli Jews were getting prioritized. This seems what's going on here. Anyway, The widows were getting overlooked in the day, distributing food to the 12, that's the 12 disciples. Obviously, Judas had been replaced by the stage. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, give our attention to prayer, to the ministry of the word." His proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and also Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon, maybe Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So this may seem like a minor thing about just waiting on tables, and what the 12 the main 12 apostles were saying, you know, it wouldn't be right for us to be waiting on tables. Not that it's beneath us, because, you know, leadership should be servant-hearted. Absolutely, it should. Jesus modeled servant-hearted leadership. That's what leading church is all about. Doing it in a servant-hearted way, laying your lives down for others. Absolutely. But they weren't saying, oh, we're not going to be servants. What they were saying, we just won't be fulfilling our calling, because we won't be able to preach the word, because we're going to be distracted, you know, involved in this. So we need to get some other people involved. But again, God was in it. Amen? So had a great culture of raising up leaders. We very much want that to be your family church's culture, and there's loads of amazing leaders here already, of just continuing to raise up leaders, to raise up young leaders, to raise up older leaders, right? Middle-aged leaders, okay? Because we need more and more leaders, amen? If our church is going to fulfill all that we wanted, all that we desire to do, all we believe that God desires to do, more importantly, you know, we're going to need more leaders. We're going to need more pastors. We're going to need more people, more assistant pastors. We're going to need more people involved in teams and overseeing teams and all those kind of things. We still very much have a heart, you know, as family church eldership to continue to plant churches. It's not like this is our list. I know South Sea Manila aren't on there, but it's like we're kind of done now. No, we want to be open to what God wants to do. Like, where do you want us to plant next? And I really believe this in the future, family church Waterside will be planting. Amen. Planting out from us, you know, into the forest, or let's see where God leads us, right? But we want that to be up our culture, but we're going to need a whole load more leaders in time. This is where God grows us and stretches us. Amen. And number 3, God grows the church. God grows the church by growing people. This is very much their culture. They would grow new leaders, but also just people would be discipled and grow in him. Amen. You know, every believer, you're a believer this morning, you are called to grow, and you're called to get involved. Ephesians 4:11-13, a well-known passage, says Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Amen? There were apostles in the early church, were apostles and there were prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. And these weren't necessarily all distinct people, because some people, Pastor Andy himself is definitely gifted in more than one of these things. Very much an apostle and an evangelist and a pastor and a teacher. You know, so it doesn't mean that it has to be like one person is the apostle and one person is the pastor. So don't have that kind of thinking in your head. There's lots of people could be gifted in lots of different ways in these things. But it's all about equipping his people for the works of service. God wants us to be equipped and to grow so the body of Christ may be built up. Amen? 2 Timothy 2:1-2, Paul writes this, "You then, my son," he's writing to Timothy, "you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." So he was encouraging Timothy to grow leaders and to grow people. And it's God's desire for us all to be involved. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12:12, again a well-known verse. "Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so is with Christ." So God wants every single one of you to grow in him, to be discipled, to become more and more mature in him on a daily, weekly, monthly, annual basis. Amen? You know, it should be the reality of the Christian life that at the end of a year, you can look back on your life, or even the end of the month, you can look back on what God has done, how you've grown. You can look at the end of 2025 and look back and think, God, I'm just so thankful what you've done in me in 2025. But I want 2026 to be another year of growth. Amen. So it's God's desire for us all to grow, but also to all be involved. You know, everybody in church has a part to play. Amen. That's God's heart. So you have a part to play, and you can get involved in the team. So we'll find somewhere for you to get involved. I will always say this. If you think, well, I'm just bored, what can I do? Right? We will find a place for you to get involved in. And then there's a whole number of people who are on like three or four teams. I don't know how you do it, but it just amazes me. And yeah, it certainly gets God's attention as well, your heart for the church. But there'll be something you can get involved in. Okay, so if you're not just kind of thinking, well, what could I even do? Please come and speak to us, because we'll find something in that sense, right? Because God wants us all to be involved and all to grow in Him. So that's kind of the main three points. God is, in the early church, the church is always moving forward. God's in the transition. New leaders were constantly emerging, and God grew the church in Acts by growing people. Amen. So it's kind of like the application as we come to a close. So whatever God's doing in our lives and whatever God's doing in church, don't resist change, embrace it. God loves change. So God never changes. In Malachi 3 says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Jesus himself said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or Paul wrote that about Jesus. You know, he never changes. But what he does absolutely does change, right? And he's always doing it in new and fresh ways. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. He's always doing things in new ways. The very character of God doesn't ever change. Jesus never changes. But what he does absolutely does change. So never resist change. God is doing something new. As we continue to move forward as a congregation, be ready to step in, step up, be sent, whatever what God wants to do in your life. I believe this is really exciting times ahead for Family Church and all the transition that's been talked about this morning. And in our own kind of transition that's particularly happened locally here as we step into the building in the next few months. Just really excited about all that God is going to do, because God is in the transition. Amen. It's going to be an amazing future. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, God. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, God, that you are in the transition. God, we thank you, Lord, for Pastors Andy and Gina and what they've shared this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all you've done through their lives. Lord, their yes that they made in 1997, Lord God. Lord, to plant a church despite not really wanting to do that, Lord, to be willing to be uncomfortable for you, and to be willing to step out into what you had for them, Lord God. And Lord, we see that all you've done over the years. Lord, we thank you for every congregation that's been planted. We thank you for every life that's been changed, every life that's been touched, everyone that's been discipled and healed and baptized and set free and made new and purposed and grown. Lord, every leader, Lord, that's grown, Lord, over that time, Lord, all that you've done, Lord, through their ministry, Lord, we just pray your blessing, Lord, upon them. Lord, as they step into their next transition, into their next, and what you've called them to do, Lord God, and winning souls and all that it involves, Lord, you know. Lord, I pray you just guide them and lead them, Lord, in their next, Lord God. Lord, and we just pray, Lord, for Family Church's future, Lord, that you just continue to have your way. Lead it how you desire to lead it, Lord. May it just be so led by your Holy Spirit, Lord, as blessed Pastor Stu and Carla, Lord, as they step into those senior pastor roles, Lord, which is a different role for them. Lord, you are in the transition. Lord, I pray your blessing upon them, Lord, in their family. Lord God, lead them and guide them. Lord, grow them. Lord, do what you desire to do. Thank you, this church has an amazing future. Lord, and for our own kind of local time of transition that we're also in at the moment, Lord, with this new building and, Lord, and all that's going to involve, Lord, we just commit it to you. Lord, it's for your glory. We thank you for the provision of a building. Lord, we know we are the church, and bricks and mortars are not churches. It's us as people that are the living stones, the church. We know that reality, Lord God. But we thank you for the provision of this building. Lord, we believe it's going to be a place of hope, Lord, where people find you, Lord, a spiritual hospital, Lord God. Lord, you said it's not the healthy that need a doctor. It's the sick, Lord, a place where the sick, spiritually sick people will find you. Lord, where the physically sick find you, Lord, where people are healed and set free and restored. Lord, just a place of hope, Lord, a place of joy. Lord, a real light in the darkness. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just commit all the practicalities, Lord, that are involved in that. And the dynamic that is going to be a bit different to how it has been for many years. dynamic on Sundays and teams and different things. Lord, we just commit it all to you. Lead us and guide us. Lord God, we never want to be Christians who are just comfortable and therefore don't change anything or step out for you because it would make us uncomfortable. Lord, we want to be Christians, Lord, that are stretched, Lord, and grow. Lord, and step into our next and all that you have for us. Thank you, Jesus. You're an amazing, amazing God. Praise you, God. Amen.